Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There comes a time in every season of Classique where we've got to buy a little time. You know, the network ordered 14 episodes, so we gotta give it to them.
The ads were already sold, so let's cobble together this recap thing.
Ooh, I love a cobble or a buckle. It's the season 13 countdown to the crown featuring RuPaul and a bevy of beauties from seasons past, including Alaska.
That's right. We review all the tops of the season, top fashions, top fights, top catchphrases, and find out the exact moment when RuPaul decided Santino wasn't coming back.
She said, "You're going back to the workroom." So get ready because we are on a classy recap mission. Bring them back.
And of course, the moment we've all been waiting for, the world premiere of Sissy in Sissy That Walk, doing sissyography.
Let's get sexual. Nothing more. But let's just start the episode.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser Classique. A podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What's yours?
Hello, my name is Will Blame the Edit.
Oh yes, we are blaming that. We might as well, let's change the name of the podcast to Blame the Edit.
Yeah, blame
Race Chaser. Let's retire the name and call it Blame the Edit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A podcast.
It's gonna be my new middle name. Will Blame the Edit 'em. Bye. For sure. Last week, we've been having a great time watching our season six sisters be
I'm
all things sissy.
Sissy. Men's loves me.
Sissy.
Women loves
sissy.
The non-binaries loves me.
The MBs. What exactly is an NB? That's what Gia would say. Anyway, we had all top four girls, Darian, Bianca, Courtney, Adore. They were all playing sissy, and they had sissyography for the Sissy That Walk music video.
Yeah.
And we got a few great droll clips from Matthew Anderson directing the girls. We got a tic-tac-sized dose of backstory and some deep-seated emotional trauma from some of the queens. And then Courtney told RuPaul she was good at everything. And if someone was better than her, that person should be crowned. And Ru responded with, "Well, good luck out there." And everyone could use a little more humanity. Unfortunately, after all that humanity and a four-way lip sync, RuPaul sent Darian Lake home, and we are left with our top three divas. And now it's time to recap the season.
Yes, this is the episode countdown to the crown. And you know what? We could have skipped over it. But you know what? Our mission statement is every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, no matter how dreadful, dreary, pointless, or awful. But
this episode is made a lot better because of your presence and the other queens that we know and love giving good talking head interview, honey. You're all over this episode featuring.
Yes.
This is your fifth season you've been featured on?
Honey, I've been on a few. As recap episodes go, this is not bad. I actually, there was a lot of stuff that didn't make it into the actual season that they showed. So I'm glad we're doing this episode. I went into it like, this is pointless. Do I even need to watch this? And then I was like, ooh, this is good. Starting out with, hello, RuPaul's look.
Honey, gorgeous.
The look, the red, you know, V-neck, titties out. Mm-hmm. The blonde bubble news correspondent pussy. So stunning.
Brendana could never.
Now, do you think that they've done away with the recap episode because of social media?
I don't know why they've done away with it. I was only invited to be in one, and mm-hmm. This one was a lot better than the one that I was on. This one had like 9 girls. You had Jinx, you had Jujubee, you had Raja. You had Raja in her Matthew Anderson look when Matthew did her up.
I love the look.
After her Heather shoot with Delta, you had Manila in it. We had you. Did I say Latrice already?
Latrice was
Raven.
There.
Yeah, all the
Raven
luminaries
was in there. Tammy Brown was Raven back in that. Shangela. Sharon Needles as Michelle Visage doing high character work.
She gave it a character.
Yes, I love that Sharon is wearing a Maxi Shield breastplate as well.
Huge.
I mean, she's the predecessor.
Is this the last year that they did the recap episode?
Is it?
Because I don't remember a season 7 one.
I think it is the last year.
They said season 7, we've seen enough. We don't need to revisit.
We're good. After what happened with season 7, we're like, we'll just stick to the mugs, honey.
Kidding. I can't wait until we get to season 7 because I actually love season 7. It's just fun to call it, oh, that's the worst season. Oh, it's the worst season ever. Oh, my God.
I don't think it was the worst season. I just think that it's not the best season.
Season 7, we slept through it. This year, a logo really blew it. That's the Lady Bunny song.
Bunny songs age so well. Shame she doesn't. So, y'all get ready for the gaggiest, juiciest, shadiest shenanigans of the season because they're doing so much on this episode. They're counting down the top turned up runway looks.
Yeah.
They're doing the top judge mental moments. The top SmackDowns, the top WTF moments, and then RuPaul goes and bottom shames everybody. She says, that's right, all tops, no bottoms, just like the pit crew. And Gia goes, excuse me?
A good thing she never did a song that goes, never gonna bottom, never gonna bottom, never gonna bottom, never gonna bottom.
Can I tell you that was one of the things that I wanted to have differently. I wanted to have always gonna bottom, always gonna bottom. And Dee and Mickey were like, no, you're doing too much. Don't do that.
Oh,
and it got changed because of them. Yeah, it was gonna be always gonna bottom. They're like, no, don't do that.
By a 2-3 vote.
Yeah. DWV was a cheerocracy for sure. I know for a fact that some of these pit crew people are bottoms because I've seen the videos, darling.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, why don't you go ahead and share those?
Plus, extra special footage never seen before on television.
Yes, we get a lot of really fun stuff. And I'm in the episode. I'm one of the talking heads. I believe it was in the basement at WOW, you know, just on the green screen.
Mm-hmm.
Very no frills. And I'm
was
wearing...
Was it crafty?
Girl... No, I don't think so. I don't remember. This was a long time ago.
Were you paid?
The Juvederm was rotting my brain. I have no idea what was going on.
I know I wasn't paid for my talking head moment because after
probably
every gig,
not.
I write down where I went, who I worked with, and what I was paid. And I looked up mine for 2013 for your season, and I was not paid. And then, you know, it's just shades of the...
I know that you write down everything you do and how much you get paid, and I once picked up that book, and I thought it was a Sidney Sheldon novel.
Which volume?
I thought it was a romance novel until I realized...
I just think that they had 9 queens on here, and, you know, they should have been paying them a little bit, and
well, I can't even speculate because I don't know.
Well, I know, and you all weren't paid. I wasn't paid for mine, and when you can do better and you don't, that's when I take some umbrage with it. But this is a great show. Let's talk about the wonderful things that went on in it. It's very,
another,
like, I love the 90s.
Yeah, it is. That's another alternate title for our podcast, Taking Umbrage with Alaska and Will.
Honey,
let's
they shunned me so much
it.
I had shunbridge.
Let's get into it. 10, 9, 8, 7.
Just start the music. Alexa, play Blame the Edit.
Alexa, stop playing Blame the Edit. No, it's actually a good song, as far as I know.
RuPaul says that she hasn't made up her mind who would win the crown, but she asked the audience to continue to weigh in.
I can't decide.
Hashtag Drag Race.
We start out with the top six catchiest catchphrases.
And these catchphrases have all caught on. People still say all of these things today.
Absolutely.
Number six.
I just said it. Oh my God, I just said it.
Literally. Number six is Vivacious's Mother Has Arrived.
People say that all the time. Number five is just dedicated to Jocelyn.
And her many misnomers.
Rusey Q, Black Horse, Cup of Soup, Keep It Foxy, Womp Womp.
Do you mean Dark Horse and Soup? Yeah. Womp Womp.
Come in. She's a machine. And she speaking really of is. Machines, number four is Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. We even
I
get
am
in there.
The boom boom gun.
What she did. Number three is the Rolodex of Hate, and it has Bianca's famous quote, my mother's Cuban and my dad is from Honduras, which means I have a big dick, no credit, and a tendency to take things that don't belong to me, which is one of the funniest like sentences that has ever been on Drag Race, because it's just like it piques every viewer's interest. Mm-hmm. Bad credit, big dicks, and mopping. Like, what more could you want? Every drag queen relates to all of those things in some way or another.
Honey, exactly. She's a funny gal.
She is.
She's a funny girl. Call
Hello,
her
gorgeous.
Beanie Feldstein, because she is funny.
Just don't call her Lea Michele.
And then, oh no, she better don't. And they do a supercut of all the different variations.
Rainbow, she better don't. Domino, she better do. All of them. RuPaul made that happen. And then we have Adore Delantro saying, fuck, fuck, fuck.
Yeah.
So many times. And then her actual catchphrase, which is party. Cheryl Lee Ralph is saying party. You got party on party.
Katya says party to me on All Stars 2.
Katya doesn't party anymore.
During my beautiful night for a breakdown.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Beautiful night for a breakdown.
Yeah.
You're that girl crying alone in the corner.
Beautiful night for a beatdown. Why don't we go ahead and take a break? And we'll be right back counting down the hits. This is Casey Kasem.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime. Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones. And, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite, and you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it and she really liked it too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag. Okay, and we are back. And we are going over right now the top four Team Talent MVPs of season six. In my knowledge, Team Talent was always Gia Gunn, Laganja Estranja, Alyssa Edwards, and Vivian Panay. Wasn't that Team Talent?
Soup of the Day.
Okay. Soup of the Day, Vivian Panay.
That's an interpretation.
Who's your Team Talent?
There is far too much talent on season six. Like, it's kind of the whole cast is team talent.
Which is why so many of them went on to do All Stars.
Exactly. It's like an embarrassment of riches. There are far too many. We have,
of course, an embarrassment of bitches, actually. Because a lot of them talk out the side of their mouth, the top of their head, and the bottom of their cunts.
Exactly.
It's wonderful.
Clocking in at number four in the Team Talent MVPs is Bianca doing stand-up comedy, which, you know, you can't. I mean, you can't compare.
There's don't want to fall asleep at a Bianca show.
I also take umbrage with my... I find myself really irritating.
Are you burnt umbrage?
Special.
Is that your contour color, burnt umbrage?
Yeah, that's my contour color. I don't normally have an issue going back and looking at footage of myself, but in this, something about it is really obnoxious to me. Like, I don't know if I'm putting on a voice or if that's how I talked at the time.
Did you recognize yourself if they didn't put the name tag at the bottom?
Facial recognition.
The fire?
Facial recognition. My phone wouldn't recognize me with all that pump.
None of us, honey. I think you looked beautiful. You had a flower.
I was wearing a Dallas Coulter purple sequins dress. I was wearing a yellow cardigan, which I believe I wore on season five in the workroom.
Throwback.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you should throw it back.
Throw it back in the river where you whence found it.
Yeah. Put it back in that fish bin where you fished it out of. Bargain basement, bitch.
You're blithely unaware. Okay, so number three in the top team talent, Adore Rapping. Go home, hoes, wear my drag race crown.
Mm-hmm. No need to force it. Look at my body up in this brand new corset.
Yes.
Adore is spitting, and it's lovely. Jinx is jealous of her unclockable hairline.
Yeah.
And she altogether is a toot for this. It's great.
Deep toot. Yeah, and then, deep salute.
And then we have, honey, a 21 gun toot toot beep beep for Miss Courtney Act.
Intel. There is deep breaking intel here.
The Michelle Visage? Is this what we're talking about?
This made it worth watching the recap episode because Michelle Visage says something nice about Courtney Act.
No. Do you think it was? She doesn't actually say Courtney's name. This could have been about anyone.
Oh, come on.
You think Michelle got a lot of flack from Courtney for body shaming her that season and for her comments on Courtney and being, you know, the devil's advocate on her. Uh-huh. But she does not say Courtney's name in this. This could have been about anyone.
Okay. Well, this happened during deliberation of the judges. So maybe RuPaul was batting for Courtney, but had to be Stone Cold Carter. On the, you know, when the contestants were in the
Maybe.
Room. And they did, they cut it out of the episode.
This
so
unseen
I
footage.
I do blame the edit. You can't, listen, I have never blamed the edit, but but to claim that no editing occurs is a false lunacy.
Felicia, false lunacy.
Dancing at lunacy.
Yeah, so Michelle purportedly said about Courtney that she was great and everything, which are truths.
Absolute truths.
They are multiple truths.
These are universal truths.
There is, I think it could have been true. I feel like Michelle was probably batting for Ben de la Creme to win this, maybe, instead of Courtney. Or okay. I feel, because it feels very passionate, whoever Michelle is speaking about.
So you're calling bullshit and blaming the edit.
No, I'm speculating that there could be bullshit because I see many cows present.
So, wow.
And where there's cows, honey.
So you think that maybe they were getting social media flack for saying the judges hate Courtney Act for some reason. And so they retroactively put this in the clip show and said, look, Michelle loved her.
Not retroactively. This is why they have a clip show to redirect people where they want to go, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, they showed Kelly Mantle once in this whole episode.
Yeah,
once, and it was falling. She wasn't even speaking. Falling
also,
into
Tammy
a pit
Brown
of sponges.
Barely
Tammy had more. Tammy had more screen time than Kelly,
that's
and it was
true.
Her season. Like they, this is their agenda, which we enjoy, but we can also point out when there's idioms and stuff. I don't really know what an idiom
is.
But...
Don't call me an idiom, please.
How
so
dare you?
Rude.
Hate it, bitch.
Listen, can we just get people who speak regular English next time? Idiom.
We originated the language. Coming in at number one is Dayla doing Maggie Smith on the Snatch Game, which I think this is a deserved number one slot.
Me too.
They show a little bonus clip that we didn't get to see, and she's like, oh, yes, I thought it was quite gay indeed.
I like that it shows Ben de la producer Creme lying, saying, oh, I don't know if I can do a British accent. This is Ben at her smartest producing.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. I don't really do like comedy or like being funny or like characters.
and Jinx says, she says they always sleep on the Seattle girls until Snatch Game. And
that's true.
This is true. And remember when Magnolia went to sleep in that Uber and then she woke up and her driver was dead? People be sleeping on the Seattle.
Who was it, Magnolia?
Robbie.
Who was it?
You're mixing your metaphors.
Was she from Seattle?
Seattle.
Where was Robbie from?
Yes, from Seattle.
Okay, let me take that over. Remember when Robbie went to sleep in that Uber and then he woke up and the driver was dead? These Seattle girls, they be sleeping. Sleepy Seattles.
Don't,
not sleepless, sleepy.
Do not sleep on a Seattle girl.
Don't do it.
Don't
the driver
do
will
it.
Die.
Don't do it, little boy. Top three what the fuck challenge moments. What do we got?
We got the Surf's Up mini challenge, which is the one where one girl plays bottom, other girls play verse top, and it's like a beach scene. You kick the legs, I'll do the arms.
Right,
bury
you're
that.
The legs. You're for sure the legs. You've got the shoes.
You make a comment that that this is much like your relationship with Sharon Needles.
Sometimes when you do these talking head things, it's just rapid fire. They just give you like moments to talk about or things to say. And often it's just the first thing that rolls out of it. It's like improv. It's like, it's literally the first thing that comes out of your head. And I'm like, some of the shit I say on this is so fucking stupid. But it's like just whatever rolls out. And then they use whichever one. You can't overthink it. You just have to like make up bullshit. And that's what I was doing. So,
usually your instinct is the funniest thing, and it's also the thing that
funny.
You wish you could take back sometimes later and
it was funny.
Add a little more thought to, but like in the moment it was wonderful.
I thought it was funny. It tickled me pink. Yes.
Certainly didn't tickle you green because they didn't pay you. Cheap hose.
Number two what the fuck challenge moment is asset management, and they bring out all the ass pit crew. Men spelling letters, letters spelling words on derriere, exquisite derrieres.
Exquisite. I think I spotted Rich Kelly in the crowd. Was that Rich on the very end?
I didn't think so, because we went down the line and you identified each of them by name and social security number.
And foreskin length. I swear I saw him, but if it's not him, oh well. But the girls talk about the first episode where some of them had the cakewalk of sitting on a bed with a bunch of men playing pillow fight where Courtney knows sexy. And
the other
girls had suicide missions, jumping into a pit of sponges. Monet. This was when the sponges were invented.
That's soak it up.
Honey.
What the fuck? That is like the most gutter bucket kind of rude shit I've ever seen. And didn't all the girls from the final four, or wait, no, Adore was in the falling jumping group, but the other girls were all in the pillow fight.
They're leaping to their deaths, honey.
And I just want to say, because we have received so many emails with letters, we're putting together our classic ass letter collage.
Wait,
so that
really?
Is coming. Oh, yeah.
We have just butts in time with for letters Christmas. On them.
Yeah. A lot of people sent holes, but we're doing the ones with underwear so we can post on social
well,
media.
Well, we can use the whole ones. You just got to put the little slash to make it a cue. Yeah, that'll work. We're going to take a break and we'll tell you how to turn an O into a Q.
We're going to take a break on that one.
Well, we'll take a break on that one.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
And we are back, and we have the top four dragcessories of season 6 coming at you. This is my personal favorite because I just recreated it on my YouTube channel with the drag queen Godoy. Formerly known FKA Beverly Next Door, Beverly Lux, Beverly Shut the Fuck Ups.
Freedom Mexican.
All
she
these
goes
things.
By many names.
She goes by many names. We just like it when she goes, too. Though. So the Gia Gunn purse. We see her and Ben de la Creme going through it after she comes in. She says, what do you got in there? And she's like, a hairbrush, a little tilapia.
And what if she had actual, like, raw fish, like,
honey,
from the grocery store in there?
That's the Gordon's fisherwoman.
I just like the scent of it.
Yeah. I like Jinx's idea to do a bag big enough that you could roll in and then get out of it.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And I have those.
Absolutely.
Those giant hoop earrings from my Hoops song. I feel like I could do it with that, maybe, as long as I crouch down.
I love it. I'm
maybe we
so
could do it on the Race Chaser, Race Chaser Live Tour, hitting Europe next July.
Ding, ding. Other standout accessories, of course, are April Carrion's umbrella with the fringe. I mean, come on. This is one of those outstanding looks from Drag Race history.
Why has she not been on Drag Race All Stars?
I don't know, but who knows? It could happen.
It just doesn't make sense. It's beautiful. Anytime you can travel with your own special effects, I'm here for it.
Exactly. And fish oil from the Rusical Challenge.
Mm-hmm. This is what Courtney This is what Courtney used to oil pull with.
Oil pulling.
Oil pull.
And the number one drag accessory, of course, is Ornacia. Ornacia really made an impact as Vivacious's styrofoam headpiece.
I heard RuPaul set up a trust for Ornacia.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So RuPaul wants to let everybody know that some parts of the show made her really wet in the eye.
Oh.
which is something we didn't know could even happen anymore. But the top five moments that made us feel things. Mm-hmm. Number five is Milk's elimination exit speech, which you have some things to say about.
I'm talking out the side of my mouth on this episode.
Oh
my God, the one time she looks like a woman and she gets sent home. What the hell?
Why do you have to be so linear and exclusive in your drag?
It's very binary, but it is very like, it's very true. The one time she was like, I'm not going to do a crazy beard. I'm not going to dress like a lizard. I'm going to just dress like a gorgeous woman.
You were just mad she stole your blue trash bags.
Honey,
and made that terrible tube top.
You know I was. That was my silhouette.
And that giant bow. If that was not from the Thunderfuck 08 collection, I don't know what was.
Honey, I'll take it. I love it.
I know. You would take it out of the trash and rewear it.
I would.
Number four is Adore's video message from her mother.
Yes. We get some deep feelings from Adora. Number three is Laganja feeling very attacked. This is just more piling onto Laganja in this moment. I mean, this poor child.
Wait, a pylon is something you can get removed on YouTube, I think, or extracted. I'm pretty sure I've seen it. I was watching a toenail one yesterday, and then it gave me the inspiration to dig at my dead toenail, and I got half of it off.
Okay.
It's been 20 years since I lost that toenail, and it's been growing in like thicker than two quarters since then, and I yanked half of it off last night, and I said, baby, you're free,
finally free,
the story of my toenail. Number two is Trinity sharing her HIV status,
mm-hmm.
which is something that is, you know, just as present right now, because Charity Case just did the same thing on the BBC talking about undetectable is untransmittable. And these are conversations which need to happen still because people don't know. And it's good that they're happening.
Definitely. Trinity K. So Brave is what the title on the thing said. And coming in at number one is the tears on the wedding episode. The fake ones, the real ones, Bridonna's. And RuPaul catches Bridonna's bouquet.
And then she says, smells rotten. If that isn't an indication of what she thinks about Bridonna, I don't know what is at all. And shout out to Pixie and the Spheris gang and all the brides from that episode, too.
Hell yes.
We get a little bit of unseen footage for the talk show challenge, and this is great because we've been around live animals so many times. It's a chance to show that Courtney knows more than everyone else in the room, saying all the names right. And she
is that a marsupial?
Is that a marsupial? That's where I come from.
The bear cat, I think it's a bear cat, is named Raji, which if you listen to Very That, they call Raji.
Raji and Delta employment.
Delta Lake. Delta Lake and Raji. That was so funny. But this was such a cool segment that didn't make, you know, they have to cut things for time and stuff like that.
But why wasn't this even in Untucked that episode? Because it was so great just seeing, like, this is a classic talk show trope where the host comes out and animals misbehave and, like, you know, you think a dick is a tail and a tail is a dick. And then before you know it, you're a marsupial.
Yeah.
Courtney looks
gosh.
Beautiful. She still wears this outfit to this day. And she hasn't brushed this Mitzi out as far as I know.
Yeah. I love this. This was another thing.
But what the fuck is a bear cat? You just can't invent an animal. A bear cat?
Cincinnati Bearcats. Hey, up, y'all?
Oh, that's a Portugal panda bug. Like, you can't just put two things together. It doesn't work like that.
A bear and a cat. It's a bear, but it is really moody and likes to lay in the sun.
Oh, like a shark moose.
Yeah, shark moose.
Yeah,
shark moose. Are you? Isn't that what your dress ruffles are made out of? Shark moose.
Silk shark moose.
Yeah.
or actually, it's made out of Skyju.
What?
It's the name of the guy that Trinity says it's Mr. Skyju. She said, and then Adore's like, I went to continuation school, so I can't say. Oh yeah, thank you.
Skyju. We live.
The top 10 looks of the runway are coming up next, and these are the top 10 turnt up looks of the runway coming at you.
This season, the runway, like my pussy, was on fire.
We got a crane for that.
RuPaul introduces it that way, and I really like that. Yeah, there were a lot of great looks coming in at number 10. Darian in her Tony Awards emerald gown. We live.
We have Laganja in her lace dress with the winged headpiece.
I believe it says Lagana.
Whatever. Wow. Blame the text edit.
Lagana. Trinity in her silver and pink space princess look. I always travel with a satellite dish. I get more channels. Hilarious.
Dayla,
so funny. Timeless.
Dayla, I got the time. Dumb. The timer's on. Dayla in her Golden Girls cheesecake look from episode one, the one she hot glued together.
Yeah, keep burning yourself, bitch. Bianca in her...
Aw, we love you.
Bianca in her black and white princess ball gown, and Manila's like, who puts a streak in their hair? That's so weird. That's so three seasons ago.
Princesses are younger than queens anyway. Vivacious in a black and white spiked club kid outfit, looking like some sort of intergalactic doom.
We love.
Yeah.
Jocelyn's ass. I mean, that counts as a look.
In 19 bikinis.
Honey.
And that necklace. Mm-hmm. Did they talk about the necklace? I don't know how the necklace didn't come up in the accessories moment.
Put it in the Smithsonian.
That necklace carried the season.
It did.
The necklace was carried.
I would have tuned out. It was a carry. Uh-huh. We have a Doris Diamond look from the glitter ball.
Which we all know for a fact that Courtney didn't appreciate.
Is everyone not seeing what I'm seeing?
Just a white tutu with some glitter thrown on it.
We have Milk's Pinocchio
look.
Yes. Which was really cool. Cutting edge and very
fierce.
Who
puts a dildo on their face?
Well. Anyway, and Courtney, number one is Courtney's big wing look.
Honey, the Audubon Society was pleased. They said, this bird bitch, she did the damn thing. This was in the commercial. It was in the supercut. It's one of the best looks to ever come down the runway. The FFA cleared it for flight plan. What's that called?
Still active in the FFA.
Oh, wait, that's Future Farmers of America's. Or Fistfuckers of America.
Hunger FFA.
Dipper just perked up. Courtney's wing look is, or actually, Court Renee, according to the outline. Court Renee.
Coot Renee.
Coot Renee. Coot Renee. That's her new name, Coot Renee.
Coot Renee.
Coot Renee. Coot Renee. Coot Renee, big winged look. She looks beautiful. She. It's not necessarily giving me beauty, although it is beautiful. It's giving me Archangel.
Like, Ava Perone, sad bird. No, she's
people of Australia.
She's so stunning, and this is like one of those Burning Man things you see on acid, and you're just like, it changes your life forever.
Bitch, she made me bring these wings to Burning Man, and then she didn't wear them. Do you remember that year? That bitch still hasn't apologized for that. Just pick up a few light essentials. Oh, you mean these 14-foot wings, bitch, that you didn't even want to wear? Dumb whore. Yelling at people calling them dark tards.
Oh, I don't know what that means.
It's when people don't wear light at Burning Man.
Dark,
and then you almost crash into them.
Oh, I see. Courtney's big winged look comes in at number one, but technically the number one is RuPaul and her fits and fashions, and they just show a supercut of all of her looks, and she does really look amazing this season. Really top work from Zaldi and Matthew on this.
RuPaul for the win, for sure.
RuPaul.
Next up, we have the top five judgmental moments, and we see a lot of our friends. We see Neil and David. We see Adam Lambert. This is not how you spell Cheryl Lee Ralph. It's Cheryl with an S, and you need to put some respect on that name with the S, not a sh.
Okay.
The typos today, I'm sorry.
We got Leah Remini and Michelle fighting about lipstick.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was trying to say. So can you, RuPaul, silence, RuPaul, pause for a moment.
That was my favorite part.
She finally agreed with me. Michelle finally agreed with me. I just needed to let you know.
Cheryl Lee Ralph telling Trinity to put a cork in it.
And she says, put a cork in it.
Literally. Curtis was supposed to love me. Enunciate.
And then I put a cork in my mouth in the episode. And I do a speaking. Which is hard.
I love a speaking.
Something that really gets me together is
Adam Lambert saying he doesn't like Gia. I didn't like her.
No.
Like being trepidatious, like, am I allowed not to like her?
Right. But this scene of Santino continuously saying Bianca Del Nero instead of Bianca Del Rio and having a really hard time of it. This is funny.
This was also Santino's last season.
You think they fired him because of this?
Think?
If you can't say the name right, get out!
I mean, I don't know. I think once you're not, you're either on Team WoW or you're not. And once you're not, it's very hard to get called back into the dugout. And Santino is not even in the stadium anymore.
No, she's not.
She's been Billy Bead.
But I thought it was very charming.
That's not slang for Willem Belli. That's slang for Billy B. And also,
I thought it was very charming that he was having such a hard time saying Bianca Del Rio and saying Bianca Del Nero over and over. And then he was like, okay, let me take it again. So, as I was saying about Bianca Del Nero, and then he was like, no, I didn't say that. I did not say that. What are you talking about?
Michelle's like, you did.
And I thought that was a nice moment. But number one is Khloe Kardashian coming on the show. And we get to see footage of the cut from the Kardashians and cut from Drag Race clip of Khloe Kardashian lip syncing against Raven and Manila. Do you think they were paid that day? I think
not. Not by E! Or fucking MTV, because they're both owned by Viacom.
Honey, that was the stupidest, most gutter bucket piece of shit thing I've ever seen. Khloe Kardashian wasn't lip syncing. She was barely standing there.
She was, but she can't feel her new lips at that point. That was the problem. You know how it is the day after, where you just want to put on nude gloss and you think you're talking, but you're not.
Honey, I know the feeling.
So do I. We've all been there. This was a piece of shit segment with Khloe Kardashian. Everyone should be embarrassed who was involved. We're going to take a break and send them some hate mail.
Stupid. I'm glad they cut it from both shows. That was so dumb. Okay, we have to take a break.
Like, were there not any faggots there?
Girl, Jesus. If you're going to lip sync, if you're going to tell two drag queens to get in drag to lip sync against you, and then you're just going to fucking stand there and then win the lip sync, that it is offensive to drag.
Basically, secret celebrity drag race.
Sure. Two unpaid drag superstars standing on either side of you and you can't be bothered to even... okay.
What privilege.
Why don't we go ahead and really take a break? Because I'm heated.
You know what? People say to me all the time, they come up to me in the meet and greet and they say, "Oh, I love your SmackDown." And I said, "Thank you so much." That's not what's called.
But I love Race Chase. I love Drag Chasers and I love SmackDown.
Ooh, and I love Warm Rumor.
These are the top.
That's hot goss.
These are the top five SmackDowns of season six. Number five is Gia and Milk fighting about drag aesthetics. You know, people like to gatekeep drag. I used to do it all the time. You did it on this very episode.
I did.
Yeah, you
what
did.
What did I do? What did I do?
The one time Milk looks like a woman, they sent her home. That was kind of gatekeepery, saying like drag has to be defined as looking like a woman or trying to be.
Well, are you the key master?
Honey, I'm the troll that sits by the gate.
You are.
And you gotta rub my belly and finger me to get the key, bitch.
No argument.
I'm just saying that we're not perfect. This drag aesthetic thing is made even more funny because the category is Tony looks, and Gia doesn't even know what the fucking Tony Awards was, yet she's saying milk isn't dressed appropriately for it, which just gives us more reasons to love the Boom Boom Gun.
We do love her.
I want Gia to talk more and think less. That's how I like my gun.
I like the gun that way, firing off at the mouth.
Give me the purse and give me the shots so her bald spot grows back in where her ponytails were too tight, and I'm happy.
Honey, we've all been there. Clocking in at number four is Courtney and Jocelyn's ongoing shade about Jocelyn not being polished. I'm not being mean. I'm just being factual.
Which this is a blame the edit, because Courtney and everybody there has said that Courtney and everybody took this with levity and it was like a fun, lighthearted thing. But then in the interview, Jocelyn was definitely feeling some sort of way about Courtney's actions. And you'll see in the AAA Girls documentary, some other girls have a lot of things to say about Courtney's actions in group settings.
Courtney, you'll have to look for that.
Courtney action.
No.
Coot Renee reaction. As she's called in the south of France. She never really knows where she is until her name is pronounced.
Coutronne. Number three is Darian and Dayla's ongoing tension and drama, which, that was...
None of your fucking business.
Oh, my God.
When Darian says that just so pointedly to Dayla, it's great. Well, why didn't you pick me for your team? It's none of your fucking business.
Honey, room... The air sucked out of that room, bitch.
If it's like a lake had a drain on it and somebody pulled the stopper on it and Darian was just at the bottom saying, none of your fucking business.
Yeah, they did.
With a G. She said fucking with a G.
Yeah.
It was great. I love G. Number two is Laganja and Adore doing the, I don't know what you said, but I felt like you came for me at some point.
This was really funny. It was outlandish.
This is why I like receipts emailed to me after a transaction, so I have the receipts at hand.
Right. I can't remember exactly how much I paid for that Uber, but I'm pretty sure I paid something for that Uber. And then, of course, number one is Bianca versus the world, because Bianca offers a brand of fresh honesty that's
acerbic.
Usually... Yes, acerbic, acidic.
Calcified.
Right. So she clocks in at number one.
Yeah. Which isn't the last time she's topped anything.
There's more countdowns. There's the top three support hoes, which is like people being supportive.
Jocelyn sticking up for milk when Gia was napalming her.
You're ignorant.
Trinity being an excellent cheerleader in Untucked, and she continued this onto All Stars. She was always the one to be very supportive and remind people of, like, you are more than what's going on this show, and just remember that. And
Trinity,
I appreciate that.
Trinity is very wonderful. I had the opportunity to spend some time with her last month, and she painted me, and it was one of the best paint me bitches I've ever done. And she was quick. She was decisive. And it wasn't like, oh, strong and wrong, we're just going to throw this on. It was great. And I've never had so many compliments on my face from
a paint me bitch. Yeah, you look
sickening. Thank you. And our top support hoe moment is Bianca being quietly supportive, pushing Trinity to perform better, loaning Adore a corset, telling Courtney to alter her makeup when she did things which were potentially offensive.
So Bianca came in first on two of the last countdowns. It's almost like we're being swayed.
Huh. That's so strange. Isn't that...
Seeing her positioned as number one and in the episode before the finale.
I don't know.
I blame the edit.
Grace Jones d'Estranger. Next up is the ABCs of drag, Adore, Bianca, and Courtney. And we review the top three right before we cut to the hashtag RuPaul's Drag Race or Buy My New Candy Bar segment.
And they basically just say, these are the girls, aren't they great?
This girl had wings, this girl was a bitch, this girl is, she's a singer.
Right. This episode, I don't think I ever saw this episode. I was watching it.
You never saw a check for this episode.
Well, that too. But I was watching it and I was like, this is, I haven't seen any of this stuff before. The animal guests. So I don't know. I liked getting to watch it for sure.
Maybe. I don't. Do you? One of the reasons I'm not saying this is true of this case, but one of the reasons I stopped drinking was because I saw a video of me doing something on stage, which I didn't remember, and I wished I didn't do. So sometimes people forget things when they're having such a good time.
I wasn't drinking at this time in my life, but thank you for the insinuation.
You're welcome.
I wasn't. This is when I stopped drinking. But
well,
no,
you
I
should
don't.
Try RuPaul's candy bar. That is delicious. Oh,
right,
wait.
She does,
the store shut down.
She does some light product placementing.
Light.
Her book, her perfume, her candy bar. Do you have any product placementing you want to do on this episode right now?
Yeah, I have a little sticker.
Is it scented? Oh, let me scratch. Let me scratch.
No, it's I call my dick the little sticker, and I stick people with it.
Oh, my gosh.
And then it smells like bleach after. No, I like RuPaul because we've all taken a page from this. Don't make that face.
What are you fucking? It smells like bleach.
No, sperm smells like bleach. You would never know because it's caught in all your back hair. Calm down and drink your juice, Shelby.
Oh, my goodness.
RuPaul is the ultimate promotion machine, and we've all taken a page from her with all of our products. And she says, this season I've been criticized for promoting too many of my products. So tonight I won't mention any of my number one albums, Born Naked, My Fragrance, Glamazon, or my new RuPaul candy bar.
I think we should do a supercut, and please, will you put doofus music behind it? Well,
wait,
I
did you say
like...
doofist?
Doofus music.
Oh, doof.
Willem, do you have anything you'd like to promote?
Yes, deathdropplay.com, which is touring the UK and Ireland and Scotland this fall. And also, the Race Chaser bonus content now available at patreon.com/
Willem. Honey,
and
I
also,
love it.
My co-host's new single, Red.
Oh, yes, Red, along with Beautiful Night for a Breakdown and Without Your Love, which came out recently. I also want to let you know about Serve Vodka, which is an exciting new line of vodkas by drag queens for everyone. I also just want to go ahead and let you know about Head Over Heels, which is happening at the Pasadena Playhouse. I'll be in that, so go to PasadenaPlayhouse.org and get tickets. I also have a book. It's called My Name's Yours, What's Alaska? Go to chroniclebooks.com/Alaska and you can pre-order it.
We also have new glitter colors for the Suckless Face and Body line. Now available very soon in major retailers, which are about to be announced. And we also have Caught in the Act, which is the Caught in the Act book, available in select regions of Australia and New Zealand.
Yes, and I'm going on tour on the Red for Filth official North American tour next year. Go to AlaskaThunderfuck.com and you can find out about that. And RuPaul's candy bar.
Which we ate. We ate RuPaul's candy bar in our music video that Christmas year for a Christmas sweater. We made s'mores out of it.
God damn, that candy bar is good.
It was. We roasted it. I don't even like chocolate. But this was delicious.
I love that candy bar. So wait, at the end of this episode, they reveal or they debut the Sissy That Walk music video. Did you watch the video?
I did. And it was nice to see Darian included in it because all that hard work should not have been left on the cutting room floor. And that was a real gracious thing that they did to her. The graciousness stopped there because when we review the finale, we're going to have none other than our special guest, Miss Courtney Act, and she's going to let us in on all the dirt and the tea that happened. Did you like the music video?
There's a few things that stood out to me. You know how everyone was fighting over, oh my God, she stole my Kiss the Flame moment. Guess who stole Kiss the Flame? Mother RuPaul.
Duh.
Mother RuPaul.
Honey, she had the matches that lit the flame, bitch.
And it's her pussy.
Yeah. They came out of her vagina.
Do you think the Black Panther creeping around on the runway, do you think that was like stock footage and they added the sort of pink?
That was a bear cat.
You're such an asshole.
Oh, from Drew.
It was actually a bear cat.
It was not a bear cat. It was a Black Panther.
I think it would have been great if they told these girls that the music video was going to be in black and white, because then they could have adjusted their makeup. Bianca could have put a hood on. Courtney could have put a lip on instead of that nude one. I think they did this for a Woman's Worth video that year that we all dressed up as Cher. It was Manila, me, and
Woman's
I've never
World.
Seen. Yeah, I've never seen Manila look so bad. And we were side lit, and it was black and white. Look at the video. You don't need to make that face.
You don't side light a drag queen in a horror film.
And and I've seen you in those.
Yes, I'll do side lighting as long as it's dramatic in a horror show.
Yeah. The
other thing
I think
that
it could have been improved if they told the girls that it was black and white.
The other thing that stood out was they have an additional look in the Sissy That Walk video that was never seen on the episode. I think Courtney's wearing some kind of Sasha Colby feather type thing, which is really pretty, but we barely see it.
Yeah.
And the episode ends. The very last thing we hear after the credits is LaGanja saying, "Come on, Natch." So LaGanja gets the last fucking word, and I think rightfully so.
Me too. I love it. And we'd also, here at the Race Chaser headquarters in Poughkeepsie, would like to give a huge shout out to Bianca Del Rio for joining us each week for season 6 of Classique to give us a little throwback chat. Shades of a Clown.
We don't have any Bianca Del Nero clips for you this week, but we thank her for being with us all season.
And check her out in the Everybody Loves Jamie tour in England, November and December.
Everybody's talking about Jamie.
Everybody's talking about Jamie.
There's no more Untucked for this season. Which
all the dicks are out and flying.
Right, Untucked was great this season, so
I think season 6 of Untucked, actually... Trivia, this is actually season 5 of Untucked, even though it's season 6 of Drag Race. This is probably the best, most notable Untucked. All the trauma, all the yelling, all the everything.
Season 5 was pretty good, too.
It was nice.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm. We know that evens outweigh odds, but...
Next week,
tell us what happens.
The season 6 champion will be crowned.
Champion!
Greatest of them all. And after that, we're planning to stay in classique mode and move on to the very controversial season 7. Which excites me.
Yeah, some people say it was lackluster, but I don't think so. It is chock full of some of the biggest names to come out of the franchise. I can't remember any of them now, but it's going to be exciting. I'm kidding. We got Trixie, we got Katya, we got Violet, we got Kennedy Davenport, we got Tempest.
Like a lot.
We
of
have
hits,
so many fucking stars. Choice cuts of meat this next season coming up.
Yes.
So stay tuned for season 7 of Classique.
And the sizzling meat with you again.
Oh, bitch, we got Jasmine Masters too.
Oh, hell yeah.
Shakes queer. Possibly the worst challenge ever. I can't wait. Thank you so much for joining us on Race Chaser
Classique
this week. Oh, that rhymes. I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And we would love... Go ahead.
Well, we'd love for you to write a review of our podcast on your podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe. So take a moment and leave us a rating, too.
You can follow the dolls if you know where we live, or on Instagram at Willem, at the only Alaska 5000. And our Race Chaser account is at Race Chaser Pod. Our Mom Podcast account, where you can see something, is at Mom Podcasts.
Plus, bonus content is available now at patreon.com/Willem, and you can search for Race Chaser content. Just scroll down or search the hashtag Race Chaser.
And you can email us at courtreneereact.plus.org.au. I'm kidding. You can email us at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
Stay safe out there. Get the vax and respect each other out in the world.
Come on, Natch! Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and or copyright holders.
Forever! Dog! Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.